So glad that you are here tonight. Some of y'all might have heard me tell this story before, but when I was in sixth grade, I was in the Dallas Love Field Airport with my brother and my cousin, and it had been raining outside, and so my cousin had the only umbrella, and it was this old kind of janky umbrella that didn't have a handle on the bottom. It was just the metal end, and it was just this really freak accident. My cousin asked me to, he asked me if I had a pen that he could borrow, and so I was bending down, looking in my backpack for a pen, and while I was doing that, my cousin randomly threw the umbrella on the ground, and it sprang open, and that metal end shot straight up and hit me dead on my right eye. And I went into the bathroom, and I pulled down my right eyelid, and there was this big red abrasion on my right eye, and I got on a flight from Dallas to Austin and cried like a little girl the entire 45-minute flight. And when I landed, I had to go to the emergency room. And the result of, or when I went to the emergency room, they gave me two things. Number one, they gave me eye drops. And number two, they gave me an eye patch that I had to wear. And as I think back on it, they actually gave me the choice of what I wanted my eye patch to look like, and I will never, that's quite a privilege to choose your own eye patch, but I will never forget, for some reason, I chose this eye patch with this blue rim on it, and then there was a picture of a Dalmatian dog on my eye patch. I will leave it to you to determine if I had friends when I was in sixth grade, but anyway, so there I was, eye drops, eye patch. And it was glorious. But the outcome of that whole event was that I developed what's called an eye floater in my right eye. If you don't know what an eye floater is, if you ever go to the eye doctor and you see like videos playing and people are seeing all these weird, crazy things, that's me, okay? Because what an eye floater is it's a black dot that you see permanently. And so from that event, this black dot appeared permanently in my vision. And I kid you not, for the first year of having this eye floater, I honestly thought that a mosquito was constantly following me around, because often I would find myself like swatting this black dot. Come to find out, it's an eye floater and it's permanent, and it's actually gotten worse over time. That one dot has actually turned into several dots that I see right here. And it was really annoying and frustrating at first, but I've just kind of grown to live with it. And the world that I see is a world with black dots right here. And honestly, I've just kind of gotten used to not having very good eyesight in my right eye. Just keep that in mind if you ever ride with me in a car and I am driving. Anyway, the reason that I tell you that is tonight we're starting a new series that we're calling Stressed Out. And the reason that we're spending time talking about stress is because I believe stress and anxiety for many of you is just like my eye floater. Stress and anxiety has just become a normal part of your life. And without realizing it, you've gotten to this place where you see all of life and people and God and responsibilities through the black dots of stress and anxiety in your life. And if you are honest with yourself, you have no clue what it feels like anymore to experience peace. I'll just shoot you straight. We're doing this series at a very strategic time. Okay, after Easter finishes, that four-weekend break, it's just kind of an all-out sprint to the finish. And I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. Many of you already feel the pressure of the last 5 weeks of school. It's just, It's pressing down on you like you're still sitting there wondering if you made the right choice to come tonight because you can already think about everything that needs to happen between now and the end of this semester, okay? Not to be a Debbie Downer tonight, but just to remind you, everything that's going to happen in the next month, there's going to be your last round of tests, and there's going to be papers, and then there's going to be finals. And for some of you, you're in student organizations that still have significant things coming up this month, and some of you are graduating, and you still haven't nailed down a job, so there's that, and then some of you are actually planning your wedding that is happening like in a few months. This series is absolutely strategic in its timing. But if some of you tonight were honest with yourselves, this next month is going to be a stressful month within a stressful semester, within a stressful year. Some of you guys have been stressed out for 9 months straight. For 9 months, some of you guys have been overcommitted, overextended, frequently sick, and sleep deprived. And you have gotten used to a life with no peace. I'll tell you this, from the research that I've done, there's really nothing that I can do about my eye floater. Like waking up each morning and seeing black dots, it's inevitable. But while my eye floater is inevitable, stress and anxiety for you is optional. Because as we're going to see tonight in the Bible, even in the midst of the busyness and the chaos and the uncertainty that can come in the last 5 weeks of school, there is a better way. So if you have a Bible, I want you to turn with me tonight to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Paul gives us a vision for a better way. And he says this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I absolutely love these two verses in the Bible. These are two verses that I memorized all the way back in high school. But I'll tell you this, while I have known these two verses for literally decades, these two verses are some of the hardest that I've experienced in terms of application. I've had a lot of intellectual knowledge of these verses, but I've struggled to have experiential knowledge of these two verses. My hope tonight is we're going to slowly unpack every section of these two verses that you might have better experiences applying this truth to your life. So let's just break it down together. Paul starts out and he says this. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Do you know what that is? That's a command. Paul doesn't say, "I encourage you not to be anxious." If he had said that, that would have just been a suggestion. He doesn't say, "You shouldn't be anxious." If he had said that, that would have just been a more forceful suggestion. No, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything." That is a command. And here's the interesting thing. These aren't just Paul's words. These are actually God's words to us through Paul. That means this isn't just Paul's commandment to us. This is actually God's commandment to us. I don't know if you've ever thought about the fact that God actually commands us, "Do not be anxious." Just think about it. How different would your life be if you actually took this command seriously? Do not be anxious about, and what's that next word? do not be anxious about what. I want everyone to say it. What's that next word? Anything. Do not be anxious about anything. So here's what Paul, or God through Paul, does is he clarifies the scope of this commandment. He says, do not be anxious. That applies to anything. Now let's just break this down, and please don't think that I'm trying to insult your intelligence, but what does anything refer to? Anything refers to everything. And here's the bad news for us tonight. The bad news is that, at least in my Bible, and I encourage you to check your Bible, but at least in my Bible, there is no asterisk next to the word anything, signifying that there's a footnote with fine print where God actually unpacks exceptions to this commandment. There's no do not be anxious about anything, asterisk, see the bottom, except for this. But here's the funny thing. Let's just all be truthful. We all live as if there's fine print to this verse. Just think about your own life right now. What imaginary fine print is in your Bible? Do not be anxious about anything, asterisk, fine print, except for finals, except for the 3 tests and 2 papers that I have this week, except for when you're not sure how you're going to pay for Baylor next year, except for when you're planning your own wedding, because you only do that once, hopefully, except for when you don't know where you're going to live, except for what's the imaginary fine print in your Bible? You need to realize when God, through Paul, says, do not be anxious about anything, he actually means anything. Do not be anxious about anything. Do you want to know why God does not want you? He strongly dislikes the idea of you being anxious about anything. The reason that God doesn't want you to be anxious about anything is actually found in the words that God shares with Joshua when Joshua finds himself in the most busy, uncertain, and chaotic period of time in his life. God basically pulls Joshua in and says, okay, Moses is dead now, it's your turn. I need you to step up, and here's what I need you to do. Your task is to get a group of 2 million plus people across a body of water. I mean, that's a big deal. And God's words to Joshua are this. He says this in Joshua 1:9. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? And then God says this, do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you hear what he's saying to Joshua? He's saying, Joshua, don't freak out. Don't stress out. Don't become anxious, because what you need to realize, Joshua, is that it's not all on you to get you through all of this chaos, all of this uncertainty. Joshua, don't turn inward, turn upward, okay? You turn inward and you put all of the responsibility on you, you're going to implode. Don't turn inward, turn upward, because Joshua, I am with you wherever you go. It is not all on you to get you through this. I need you to hear this, and I need you to let this sink in. God, who is called a perfect father who loves to give good gifts to his children, a perfect father who delights in his children, a perfect father who loves his children deeply, a perfect father who loves and longs to display his greatness and goodness in the lives of his children, this perfect father is with us wherever we go. His message to us tonight is don't stress out, don't freak out. Why? Because it's not all on you to get you through the busyness, the chaos, and the uncertainty that comes with this time of year. Don't turn inward towards yourself. Turn upward to me. A few years ago, my son Noah, I have a 5-year-old Noah, we put him in swimming lessons because it was time for him to learn how to swim. And my son Noah was terrified anytime he was put in water, like he could not stand being in water. He became a genius because we were potty training him at the same time that we were doing swim lessons. And so what he began to do is he would wait till he got to the swim lessons, and then he would say, "I need to go potty." Why? So that he could prolong getting into the water. Okay, one time he was like, "I need to go number two," and I was like, "Prove it." And so he did, unfortunately, and that basically bought him the whole lesson. Smart man, but I don't know why I told you that. That wasn't relevant to the story, but here's what you need to know about Noah swimming. He was terrified of being in the water, and there were times that I would get in the water with Noah, and he would just panic. He would freak out. He would claw me. He'd be screaming because for some reason, all Noah could think about is what would happen if he had to swim by himself. And he knew if he was left to himself, he would not be able to make it because he didn't know how to swim. The problem was that Noah forgot who was with him. Noah forgot who was with him. Who was with him? Well, his father was with him, who could put both feet flat foot on the bottom of the pool. His father, who has these big, strong, muscular, chiseled, this shirt doesn't do it justice, but anyway, these muscles holding him. I'm lying to make friends, all right? Okay, anyway. He forgot that his father, who loves him deeply and is committed to getting him in and out of the pool safely, that father was with him. If we were to just look at the way that we operate in life, I think that we would see that we operate as if God has taken us, chunked us into the pool, and he expects us to make it on our own. That's at least how we're operating. And the problem with that is that we're forgetting who is actually with us. The God of the universe, a perfect Father who loves us and is committed to being with us wherever we may go. So that's what we're not to do. Paul is very clear. Do not be anxious about anything. Why? Because God is with you wherever you go. Now Paul is going to turn the conversation. He's already told us what not to do in the midst of busyness and chaos and uncertainty. Now he's going to turn and say, okay, don't do that. Do this. Here's what he says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in anytime you see but in the Bible, it's usually signifying a contrast. And so that's exactly what's happening here. Paul is making a contrast between what we aren't supposed to do and what we should do. He says, but in everything. So let's stop right there. But in everything. Not to insult your intelligence again, but I just ask you what anything is referring to, and we decided that anything is referring to everything. Now Paul says, but in everything. Well, what's everything referring to? Well, everything is referring to anything. So what Paul is trying to get us to do is he's trying to get us to think about any and every possible scenario in our lives that could cause us stress and anxiety. So I want you to think about that right now. Think about every and any scenario that could possibly cause you stress and anxiety in your life. And because Paul just said, but in everything, we better not just think about the big things that could cause us stress and anxiety. We need to think about the smallest things because Paul said in everything. So let's just identify a few things. What are the big things right now that can cause stress and anxiety for you? Well, there's finals, there's tests for some of you, there's graduation and landing a job. For others, there is planning a wedding. Okay, let's sift a few more things out. There's not knowing what you're going to do this summer. There's not knowing where you're going to live. There's not knowing how you're going to pay for your school next semester. Let's sift a few more things out. Let's get down to the small things. I mean, the things that no one would care about. What about when you lose your keys or your wallet, you can't find it? What about when it really stresses you out when you're running late somewhere? What about just the small things in your life that no one else might care about but you? Like, what are you going to wear to a date party? Paul wants us to identify every and any scenario that could possibly cause stress and anxiety in our lives. Why? Because the God who is with us wherever we go cares deeply about any and every possible scenario that could cause you stress and anxiety in your life. So now Paul is going to say, in every scenario that could cause you stress and anxiety, here's what you're to do. And he gets really practical with it. He doesn't stay high up in the clouds in the theory. No, he is taking us from the classroom to the laboratory, and he's saying, here's what it looks like practically in the midst of the busyness, the chaos, and the uncertainty of your lives. He says this, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Let's stop right there. The Greek word that we have translated prayer here, it's a general term that talks about worshipful conversation is the idea, that word prayer. Worshipful conversation. The idea of supplication there, it is prayer with a sense of need. So here's what we have to realize. In any and every possible situation that could cause you stress and anxiety, you enter into worshipful conversation with the God who is with you wherever you go. So just think about what that means. If God is with you wherever you could possibly go, that means that God is intimately acquainted with your schedule and with your deadlines and with every single decision that you have to make. And in every single one of those moments of busyness, chaos, and uncertainty, Paul says you enter into worshipful conversation and you express your need to God. Why? Because he's with you and he cares. But then Paul goes on and he says this. He doesn't just say prayer and supplication. He adds another thing. He says this, but in everything by prayer and supplication. And then he tacks on this, with thanksgiving. And I love that he tacks that on because it totally demolishes the order that we do things in. He exposes a huge flaw in the way we operate. Because when we think about being thankful to God, when do you normally thank someone? You thank someone when they have done something for you. So when we think about thanksgiving towards God, we want to put thanksgiving at the end of busyness, chaos, and uncertainty. We want to tack thanksgiving on after God has already proven that he is faithful and he does something for us. But what Paul just tells us now is that thanksgiving doesn't go at the end. Thanksgiving goes in the midst of the busyness, the chaos, and uncertainty. I want you to hear me when I say this. Please don't miss this. I think one of the main reasons we turn inward instead of upward with our stress is that we fail to remember that the God who is with us can handle everything that we need to handle. Did you hear what I just said? I think one of the main reasons that we turn inward instead of upward with our stress is we fail to remember the God who is with us and how he can handle everything that we need to handle. So here's one of the best things you can do when you're stressed out. One of the best things you can do is spend time thanking God for who he is. Because when you thank God for who he is, it will remind you of who is with you. Let me just tell you how this has played out in my life. Honestly, I hate teaching about stuff like stress and anxiety because God always makes me apply it, and it is so annoying, all right? It's just straight up frustrating and annoying. I'm not going to reach way back into my past and pull out this really perfect, unique example that I went through once. No, I'm going to talk yesterday, okay? Yesterday, as I am preparing for this, at the same time, I was trying to finish up my taxes. I'm doing the adult thing, trying to finish up my taxes. And as an ordained minister, the tax laws for ministers can get kind of tricky. And I had a conversation with my accountant, and that conversation led me to believe that my accountant really doesn't understand the laws associated with ordained ministers. And it's possible that he made a mistake on my taxes last year and this year that is potentially going to cost me somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000 in the midst of studying this. At the same time, I look on my phone and check the weather app to look at what the forecast is for today because I live on the weather app, especially since Vertical meets outside. And here's what I saw for today. What I saw was that today was supposed to be a beautiful day, but there is a chance of rain starting at 7 p.m. going the rest of the night. And I thought, that's interesting because 7 p.m. is really when Vertical is at its height of setting up. And then Vertical obviously starts at 9. And there's the only chance of rain today is during the time when Vertical happens. And I'm just going to shoot you straight. I turn inward instead of upward, all right? Like, I can barely do simple math. Like, this thing doesn't do math, but you better believe I was scouring my tax return trying to get this really simple thing around the numbers on the paper because I was desperately, frantically trying to figure out if my wife and I were going to be in the whole $10,000 to $20,000. And then I was sitting there thinking, what are we going to do if it actually rains? Why is it supposed to rain at the one time during the day when Vertical is? I turned inward instead of upward, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to sleep last night. I ended up falling asleep, and I woke up this morning, and immediately when I opened my eyes, those were the things I was thinking about. And I just thought to myself, man, if I'm going to teach this tonight, I better try and apply it this morning. So in the midst of this chaos really inside of me, and it doesn't help that my personality is prone towards anxiety in the first place, I entered into conversation with God. And here's what it looked like. I first thanked him for who he is. On the weather, I just said, God, I thank you that you actually command the clouds. Like, God, all you have to do is say the word, and every drop of precipitation in any cloud will just be gone. And so, God, I am asking you, I am begging you that that percent chance of rain would drop down to zero. And then in terms of my taxes, I just said, God, I thank you that you have all the wisdom in the world. God, thank you that you have all of the money in the world. and you are going to get me through this. And I thank you in advance for what you are going to do. But God, I ask and pray that you would give my accountant clarity. I pray that you would give me clarity, and I pray that you would work this out. And just to kind of finish out both of those stories, the good news is we're sitting here tonight, no rain, and I checked that weather app, and it was awesome. There was just this one moment in the day where the percent chance of rain just dropped down to like 3%. Thank you, God. And then as I was thinking and praying about my taxes, God brought this guy to mind that I haven't talked to in about 5 years, but he he's an accountant, and he just so happened to be an ordained minister. And so I called him up randomly. He said, shoot me your return. And he looked at it. He said, your accountant put some numbers in the wrong place, but he got it right, and you're good. See, God is with us every moment of the day. And so we can enter into conversation with him. But you need to realize, if you don't pause for a second and remind yourself of who you're really dealing with, what you're going to do is you're going to shoulder your stress, because you will buy into the lie that God can't. I mean, those are just my two scenarios. What did you walk in here with tonight? Let's just get real. This place is full. I mean, stress, anxiety is in the air. I don't know what you have to go to tonight. Some of y'all are going to be up all night tonight. Some of y'all haven't slept well in probably weeks because something is eating you up. What would it look like for you to enter into conversation with God who is with you tonight? Just lean into him. Thank him for who he is. And tell him what you need. Here's what Paul says happens. I love this. This is awesome. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then he says this. Here's the result. In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love this, and I want to make sure you grasp what God, through Paul, is promising here. And we'll do it just by walking backward through the verse. We're going to define some terms so you can really get your mind around what's happening. When Paul talks about the heart and the mind, I believe that he's just trying to paint a picture of your entire inner being. The Greek word cardia, which has been translated heart, it refers to the entire inner life. It refers to your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your desires, your passions, all aspects of your inner being. When Paul says that the peace of God will guard, that word guard, it's a military term, and it carries with it the idea of surrounding a garrison or a city and protecting it. Paul talks about the peace of God. It's really hard to articulate the peace of God. I mean, even Paul just said the peace of God, which surpasses understanding. So how am I supposed to explain the peace of God to you when it surpasses understanding? I think the peace of God looks different for each person here. But I love how one commentator explained it. He said that the peace of God is an inner quiet. So just put all those things together. When you find yourself in moments or seasons of busyness, chaos, uncertainty, you enter into worshipful conversation with the God who is with you wherever you go. And he supplies you with an inner quiet that stands and defends every aspect of your inner life, producing peace. I'm the only employee for Vertical, and I work for home. So for like the one person here who looks at what I do and you think it's really sexy, what you need to picture is me sitting in a bedroom of my house in a rocking chair for 20 to 30 hours a week writing a sermon with a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old dressed up as Spider-Man or a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle just running laps around me. Now that I say it, it does sound kind of sexy. But anyway, when I first took the job with Vertical, Monday nights, became incredibly stressful because 6 p.m., just 3 hours before vertical, I would be in all-out sermon preparation mode. And at the same time, my two kids would be in meltdown mode because 6 p.m. is kind of like meltdown central. And so I'd find myself in these moments where I was surrounded by chaos. And I was talking to one of my friends about it, and so he gave me the best gift that anyone has ever given me. He gave me a pair of those extremely expensive Bose noise-canceling headphones. And so I literally wear a pair of Bose noise-canceling headphones probably 6 to 8 hours almost every day of the week. And it's pretty awesome because at any given moment of the day, Spider-Man and a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle can be running laps around me, which is pretty awesome, or they can be terrorizing our hallway, and I love my kids, but there's moments of chaos where I flip a switch, and my life is flooded with inner quiet. And although the chaos doesn't stop, it's canceled out in my life. And in the midst of chaos, I can experience peace. When I think about that and I think about this verse, I love when Paul says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts in your minds." I love that it says that the peace of God will guard your mind. Because I'll just be honest with you, in my life, when there's busyness and chaos and uncertainty, my life can run away with what ifs. You know what I'm talking about when I say what ifs? What ifs are just hypothetical scenarios that you play out in your mind where the worst case scenario happens. And so when you're in the midst of uncertainty or chaos, maybe you've experienced thoughts like, what if I fail? Or what if I don't pass this test and therefore I don't graduate? What if I never get married? What if I can't pay for school next semester? What if I don't land a job? What if, what if, what if? The beautiful thing is in those moments, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, those things flip a switch. And God cancels out the what ifs in your mind. So instead of hearing the what ifs, you can focus on the what nows. God, what do I need to do now in this moment to be faithful and responsible, even in the midst of this busyness, this chaos, and uncertainty? I love it that Paul says that the peace of God will guard your heart. You think about your emotions when you're stressed. I know for me that when I am stressed, anxiety and insecurity can go hand in hand. I don't know if you ever feel that, but stress and anxiety and insecurity can really go hand in hand. You think about it, when you're spread so thin that you really can't do anything well, it's easy to feel like a failure. When everyone around you seems to be moving towards marriage except you, it's really easy to feel undesirable. When everyone around you has landed a job for after college except you, it's really easy to feel inferior. But through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, it flips a switch and it cancels out the chaos and uncertainty. Instead of questioning who you are, you can rest in whose you are. Do you realize what these two verses are? These verses are a promise from God. When I was in high school, I had a Bible study leader who said, "I want you to put the letters B, P next to any verse in your Bible that is a promise from God. And so as I was preparing for this, I went and got my Bible from high school, and I looked next to this verse, and the word next to it was promise. This is a promise from God. Do these things, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say that it might guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. No, it says it will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. You realize that God is passionate to bring you peace. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is look at the cross of Jesus Christ. You realize that Jesus Christ, who was and is God, came to earth, lived a sinful life, a sinless life. Please scrap that from the record. There was no sin, sinless life. He was crucified on a cross for the sins of the world. He was buried in a tomb. He was raised on the third day. Why? So that through faith and faith alone in who Jesus is and what he has done, we who were enemies of God could experience peace and become children of God. Jesus came so that we might have peace. One of the greatest qualities of a Christian is that he should experience peace with God and peace in his circumstances. Why? Because the God who is with him wherever he goes is committed to peace. This is a promise. I'll close by saying this. And I hope that because I just told you I'll close with this, you don't immediately check out and say, okay, well, then we're kind of done listening. This is one of the most important things I can tell you tonight. One thing I've realized just by being around Baylor is that sometimes Baylor students wear stress around like a badge of honor. Like around here, it's really a noble thing to be overcommitted and to have more things to do than you have time to do it in. And here it's you're considered significant or valuable if you live off of 3 to 5 hours of sleep each night. It's like it's a badge of honor. I honestly, and I could be wrong, but I personally believe that stress and anxiety are the most socially acceptable and socially encouraged sins at Baylor University. Tonight, there is something different on the table. Because the God of the universe is offering us the opportunity to trade stress for peace. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. May we be people tonight who turn upward instead of inward. My eye floater is inevitable. Stress and anxiety in your life is optional. May you turn upward instead of inward, knowing that our God is committed to giving you peace tonight. Let's pray together. Let me just ask you in the quietness of your own heart, where is there chaos? Where is there uncertainty? Maybe you're here tonight and, you think about what Coach Harbor was talking about, just the idea of if he were to die, would he go to heaven? He said, I didn't really have a good response to that. When you think about where you stand with God, when you think about if you were to die, are you in a good place with God right now? Is there that inner quiet in your life that says, I'm at peace. Jesus Christ paid my debt, and I'm forever forgiven. If you're sitting here tonight and it's become clear to you that you're not right with God, that you've never come to a moment where you've simply expressed faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, where you've invited him to come in, to cleanse you from all of your sin, and to give you a new start. If that's you, then may in this moment, may you call out to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you flood my life with the peace that comes through knowing you? And maybe you're here tonight and you know Jesus, but let's just be honest. You're sitting there and your life is full of stress and anxiety right now. Maybe you're turning inward instead of upward, and maybe it's because you've forgotten who is with you. You've forgotten the one that is with you. He is for you. And he is committed to leading you to peace. Maybe just in these short moments before we end, maybe you just need to enter into worshipful conversation where you thank God for who he is, and then you express your need to him for anything and everything in your life that could possibly cause you stress and anxiety. Because tonight, he wants to trade your stress for peace. If you need peace tonight, would you come to Jesus? And would you ask him to graciously give it to you?